Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as state director for CEF of Illinois.
Hi, and thank you for listening to Telling Future Generations, where we seek to ignite God's people with a passion and to equip them in telling future generations about God and His Word. How would you describe the spiritual state of our children today? And what is it that this generation of children needs most? You know, the world has many answers, but we know the Word of God tells us there is only one answer. Our children need Jesus. Our children need to know the Word of God, and our children need to know the one who is the Word of God come in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. This generation, of any generation growing up in the United States and America, is in trouble, and they desperately need to hear the gospel message. Christian leaders and pastors across the country, they're echoing and they're calling out that this generation growing up right now in the United States is the most biblically illiterate generation when it comes to knowing the scriptures. Another survey poll shows that the millennial generation born after the 1980s is the most irreligious generation in the history of the United States. George Barna wrote a book called Transforming Children to be Spiritual Champions, and the subtitle is called Why Children Should Be Your Church's Number One Priority. He stated that 70%, and some say it's now as even as high as 80%, of all children born in North America are born into non-Christian homes. But what do all these statistics and statements mean? It means one thing. Our children need the gospel. They need God's word. Our children, they don't know the scriptures, they don't know God, and they are predominantly unchurched, and that means that there is an ocean full of children growing up right now here in the United States, probably who have never heard even once a clear presentation of the gospel. The children need to know who Jesus is, why Jesus came, and what Jesus offers, and they need to hear and to receive God's greatest gift, the best news in all the world, that through faith alone in Christ, they can have the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life through Christ. In many ways, this generation of children growing up is rapidly becoming like an unreached people group. They have little knowledge of the true and the living God of the Bible, and of His only Son that God has sent. Jesus, for some children, is just a cuss word, a vain name that they have heard thrown around by their parents or their friends. And for many of these children, they have no one in their homes who can tell them about Jesus, who can teach them God's word, and explain or even model for them what it means to be a follower of Christ. So where do you start with this generation in teaching them God's word and telling them about Jesus? I believe the Bible tells us the answer, and it begins in the beginning, teaching them the gospel from the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, beginning with the doctrine of creation. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." These 10 words are some of the most powerful words in Scripture. There was a definite and deliberate beginning of this universe, and a personal and all-powerful God created it by His design and divine will, making all that there is, both in the universe and all the world, creating it all from the beginning, time, space, and matter. God and God alone is our eternal creator and our king. The word Elohim is a Hebrew name for God found in Genesis 1:1, and it means that God is our creator. He is the ruler. He is the judge. He is the one who reigns over all. You know, this first verse in the Bible in Genesis 1:1 is so foundational to all of Scripture that it's one of the first verses that I had both my sons memorize since they were young. Recently, while taking a seminary class, I did some additional research on different word studies on creation, God being our creator, our maker, the one who formed the heaven and the earth. And do you know what I found? To my surprise and amazement, the doctrine of creation is not just found in Genesis chapter 1 or 2 or a few other verses scattered here or there, but the doctrine of creation is found in almost every book of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. In fact, the doctrine of God being our creator is found in so many verses that if one were to cut every verse out of God being our creator, you would be left with a shredded Bible and a gospel message with a big hole in it. I believe that of all the doctrines that are contained within God's word, that the doctrine of creation that is found in the book of Genesis is the most foundational doctrine of all Scripture and understanding the gospel message. We need to teach the gospel from the beginning. Without the book of Genesis, there is no foundation for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But regardless of what people do or don't do with the book of Genesis, the cross of Christ still stands, and it will always stand. But the foundation that the cross of Christ is built upon in Scripture and the importance of it becomes cracked and even eroded when we begin to minimize, rearrange, or reinterpret God's word to accommodate and fit man's fallible or finite views. God wants us to see and understand how the doctrine of creation is the source of the gospel from the beginning and how it all fits together and tells one story from beginning to end. New Tribes is a mission organization that focuses on reaching tribal, unreached people groups, and their mission has been having fantastic success around the world and reaching different people groups because they have learned the effectiveness of explaining the gospel from the beginning. They chronologically lay out how all scripture all points to the Lord Jesus from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and at every step along the way, beginning with creation, they point to the promise of Christ and proclaim Christ throughout all scripture, teaching the gospel from the beginning. One tribal elder told a New Tribes missionary, "You know, before you taught us from the middle to the top of the tree. Now we are hearing about the bottom of the tree. It brings into focus, which was confusing before." We need to teach the gospel from the beginning, and that's one of the reasons why I'm so excited about Child Evangelism Fellowship's new curriculum for this fall. For over a year, CEF has been in the process of revising our literature to help teach God's word to this current generation. The gospel, which CEF has been so well known for over 77 years, is the bedrock of all of our teaching and everything that we do in Child Evangelism Fellowship and all of our Bible lessons, our Good News Clubs, our Friday Clubs, or in any other teaching ministry opportunity. We want to share with the children the good news of Jesus Christ. But the problem is that this generation of children do not know God's word. Many children, even in our after-school Good News Clubs that are held in the public schools, they're hearing the gospel for the first time, and they have never been taught and have never understood what the Bible is all about from the beginning to the end. They haven't got a clue. And that's why this new foundational series is called God, the Creator King, that seeks to share with the children the doctrine of creation, sharing the gospel from the beginning. It tells one story, teaching and explaining the gospel from beginning to end. I want to share with you some reasons why I believe that sharing the gospel from the beginning is so foundational to understanding the gospel message. First, if there is no creator, there is no God. You know, 90% of all children in the United States are in the public schools. Our children in the schools right now are being taught the theory or even the philosophy of evolution. In essence, it says that all of life can be explained by chance or time, no divine intervention needed. Or in other words, nothing produced everything from nothing by chance. God's word says, not a chance. Twice, both in Psalm 14:1 and Psalm 53:1, God says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The scripture clearly teaches us that the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You know, I was once told that a avowed atheist said to a believer in Christ, the reason why I don't believe in God or Jesus is that then I would have to obey him. The second reason why I believe the doctrine of creation is so foundational to the gospel message is because if there is no God, then there's no accountability, there's no judgment. Romans chapter 1 makes it clear, beginning in verse 22 and following, that when one starts to deny that there is a creator and to reject him, then it leads to an ever downward progression of reprobate sin, leading to increasing lawlessness, wickedness, and all kinds of evil, even perverseness of God's intended creation and design. Acts 17 also clearly tells us that we are accountable to God. He is our creator and he is our judge. We are responsible to him for our actions. A few years ago, I was watching a cable news channel that had a sociologist talking about her recent studies and a report that came out that they called The Lost Generation. It immediately gripped my attention. Here was a secular news channel, not a Christian station, reporting that this generation of children growing up right here in the United States is the most morally lost generation in the history of our country. The report went on to say that this generation is a lost generation because they have lost their moral compass, their moral values. It's no longer based on absolute standards or objective right and wrong, but it's all based on personal experiences, what they believe or what they feel is right. It's as almost that this generation is standing up and shouting out, if it's right for you, then it's right. And what's right for me is right. It is my right. And no one has the right to tell me anything different. But what about what God says, what is and isn't right? You know, the lostness of this generation, it shouldn't catch us by surprise because this generation has been taught that there is no God. This generation has been taught and led to believe that there is no absolute truth. The Bible, God's word, is obsolete, irrelevant, or just a thing of the past. This generation is lost because they need Christ. We need to teach the gospel from the beginning. God's word tells us that man was especially made. He was set apart from all creation. Man and woman were created in the image of God, and God breathed into man the breath of life, giving him an eternal soul. We were designed to be with God and to live with God forever. Genesis tells us that God's creation was originally good. 6 times throughout the 6 days of the creation week, God said, "It was good, it was good." And then after finishing all of his creative work on the 6th day, God said, "It was very good." The world that we know today is not the same world that God had originally made. Something happened that marred and scarred God's good creation. And it's the book of Genesis that tells us why. Because of Adam and Eve's sin, the sin of disobedience, sin and death came into this world. Before there was sin, there was no death. Death was not part of God's original design. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." The opening chapters, though, in Genesis doesn't just leave us with a problem. It points to the ultimate solution, the promise of the coming Savior that is first preached to us in Genesis chapter 3. And then all Scripture then together tells us and shows us that this Savior would be born of a woman, virgin born, and through his righteous, sinless life, he would willingly give of his life by shedding his fully divine yet fully human blood to pay for all of our sin, taking all of our punishment upon himself. Yes, he would be bruised for our sin, he would be wounded for our transgressions, but through his precious, perfect blood, he would make us whole and cleanse us from all of our sin. He would redeem and buy us back from Satan to God for all who by faith have trusted in him. God loved the world, his creation, so much that he sent his only Son to crush the very power of sin, Satan, and death for all eternity. That's the gospel from the beginning. There is a war going on for the hearts and minds of our children. It's the same tactic that Satan used as old as the Garden of Eden, the questioning of God's word. Has God really said? And then the outright lie from the evil one, "You shall not surely die." The Bible says in John 8:44 that the devil is a liar and the father of it. When I was in junior high, I was first exposed to the teaching of evolution, and it shook me a bit and even made me question at first my faith. Then later in high school, I was doing some more study on the issue of creation, and I came across a picture of two worldviews pictured by two castles. The one castle was founded on man's word. The other castle was founded on God's word. There are many issues arising from man's castle, listing all kinds of present-day moral battles, flying under the flag of humanism, saying man decides what is true. The other castle, under the banner of biblical Christianity, was busy shooting their cannons, attacking all these issues that kept popping up like inflatable balloons. But all the time while the Christian castle was focusing and attacking the issues, the humanism castle was taking aim at one thing. They were pointing all their cannons squarely on the doctrine of creation that rested on God's word. Our goal in reaching this generation for Christ will not be accomplished by winning issues. Our goal as parents and teachers should be to stand firm on God's word, teaching what God has said from the beginning and sharing how all Scripture points to Christ, teaching the gospel from beginning to end. It's not about the issues. It's all about what God's word says. You know, this past week, I was reviewing my memory verses with my boys on the way to school, as I often do. And while I was driving and they were sitting in the back seat quoting the verses, I thought, you know, God's word says it all. Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And then Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We need to stand firm on God's word because God's word is sufficient. We need to stand on the doctrine of creation and to tell our children the gospel message of God's unfolding plan for our salvation from the beginning. Our children, this generation, needs to know that God is their Creator King and only Savior. Thank you again for listening to Telling Future Generations, and we hope you join us again next week as we have special missionary guests with us from Africa who will be joining us and telling about the importance of reaching children for Christ in their own country so that the generation to come might set their hope in Him.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.